America Weekend.
Welcome to American Top 40. My name's Casey Kasem, and we're about to count down the 40 biggest hits in the USA. These are the records you're buying and radio stations are playing all over America this week, according to Billboard magazine. So, here we go. Starting off with...
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
Our next guest endured a harrowing ordeal, one that played out in the media. Now, you may remember Carrie Kasem's battle to visit her father, radio icon Casey Kasem, during his final months. She says only to be rebuffed by his wife, who moved him from state to state before he passed away. Carrie is promoting a bill to help others in her situation get the rights they need to visit and tend to an ailing parent. She has formed the Kasem Cares Foundation, which works to help families that are facing similar situations. This is a very important topic that needs to be discussed, and it is great to say hello to Carrie Kasem. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, your story is as much fascinating as it is heartbreaking. Please take us through what happened to your dad and what you and your family was put through.
When this happened to me, and this happened to my family, it was, like you said, it was very public, and I started getting, it started with comments on Facebook, and then letters poured in, and emails. This isn't just happening to me. I realized very quickly, this is an epidemic. It's all over the U.S. and in other countries as well. I've gotten emails from Canada, the U.K., so what's happening, unfortunately, is there's a ton of isolation going on with the elderly. And isolation is criminal in every state. In 2007, when my father got diagnosed wrongly, well, we're not sure because there was never an autopsy done. And with Lewy body dementia, he was first diagnosed with Parkinson's and then Lewy body dementia. And you'd never know if that's correct unless there's an autopsy done. So we're not sure if he had both, if he had one or the other. But he was diagnosed, and we all sat my dad down. This is me and my brother and my sister. Mm-hmm. We said, Dad, if you do not sign over a durable power of health, not of estate, not money, nothing with that, we will never see you again. And the reason why we knew this is my father's wife, Jean Thompson Kasem, did this to her own siblings when her mom got sick. Okay. She isolated her mother. She didn't tell her siblings when she was sick or in the hospital or when she died. Or I don't know if they even know where she's buried. So we knew this was coming. We said, Dad, you've got to do something. And he said, no, you're right. And he signed over a durable power of attorney to us kids. And we knew that when we were in court and when the time came, when he started to be isolated, not only from my brother, sister, and myself, it was his brother, his aunts, his uncles, all of his dear friends. And if you knew my dad, you knew how much family and friends meant to him.
Sure.
It was the most important. If you know anything about Middle Eastern families, like, we were very close. And we talked every day on the phone. I mean, my dad, even if I didn't, like, oh, Dad, he's calling again. But, you know, it's like, I was so, you don't realize that in the moment. It's like, it was so amazing. He always kept in touch. He was always there for us. So, you know, when we heard, you know, and when we started fighting to see my father in court, you know, of course the lies came out. We're estranged. He didn't want to see us. He would never sign over a durable power of attorney. You know, that's all lies. These kids are, you know, criminals, blah, 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 right? So we knew that this would happen. We knew she would say this about us. So we actually videotaped my dad. We videotaped him with his wishes, him signing that, which helped. Now, here's the catch. In every single state that we have brought the visitation bill to, it's the Kasem Cares visitation bill, we realized that there is nothing in place for a judge to just rule on visitation. You have to go through the huge, costly expense. Most people don't even have enough money for a retainer.
Of course.
Sure, lawyer, sure. Right? So I'm thinking, okay, we've got to go through. And the lawyer did say, my lawyer said it's going to cost you upwards of $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Who has that kind of money?
Not many people.
I mean,
no.
The 1%, right? The 1%. So I'm getting emails saying, I haven't seen my mom or dad in, you know, a year. 5 years. I know they're being abused. I know they're being physically abused. I know they're being emotionally abused. I know they're being financially abused. And we can't do anything about it. And I said, there's no way you can even just ask for visitation. And there wasn't. There's no way you can just go to a court and say, my dad or mom, they're being isolated. They want to see us. We know this, but they're being told that, you know, we're being told that they don't want to see us. And they're being told that we're not calling and that we don't care anymore, or that we just want to see them for the money. So what the visitation bill does, and what I realized quickly, is we need to allow judges to just rule on visitation. Mm-hmm. Now, my father said to the court over and over again, I want to see my children. He said it to the court-appointed doctor, Dr. Trader. He said it to the court-appointed attorney, Sam Ingham, over and over again. And they both came in the court and said, Casey wants to see his kids. He's emphatic about it. And Judge Leslie Green looked at both parties, were sitting in court. She said, Casey Kasem wants to see his kids. Now go out in the hallway and figure it out.
Aye, aye, aye.
Wow.
What would happen if you were to just go to where he was?
Exactly.
Like,
if
what
you,
was
if
stopping
you?
If you knew where he was and you went, what would happen?
The police were called on us.
Oh,
my
wow.
sister went over there after, you know, we begged and begged for the first month, please. We know, you know, oh, he's tired. Oh, all these excuses were like, it started. We knew the first 2 weeks when we had, because we saw our dad every weekend, every single weekend. And when we wanted to see him, we saw him every Sunday. And then when we missed 2 Sundays, we were worried. We knew. We're like, okay, it looks like it started. Then,
right.
then another Sunday, then another. So after 5 or 6 weeks, my sister went over to the house, which we were not allowed at. We hadn't gone there for 15 years, to his house, sometimes to pick him up, and he would come outside. But we knew that if we went into the house, he would be battered. So we stayed away from there.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Come on.
Yeah, we stayed away. And it was horrible. So my sister went there. She knocked on the door, and the housekeeper said, she said, I want to see my dad. And she got very excited, and the housekeeper went back and told my dad, hey, you know, Julie's here. And he was so happy. And Gina immediately cut that off and said, you've got to get used to not seeing your dad anymore.
Wow.
What was the purpose of her doing that? Was she just trying to... I don't know.
Wait, was there always a history with her, with you, in terms of in the family with her trying to separate? I mean, how far back could you really start to see the signs and start to get an idea that this was going to come? Now, I know she's had a track record with this.
If she did it with her own family.
What were the conversations like?
She did not like us from the very, very, very beginning. In fact, she didn't like anybody who loved my father. It was a threat to her. And we've seen this now with people who isolate. Anybody who loves, anybody who truly cares for the person is a direct threat to the isolator.
When it comes to the level of care that she provided your father, I remember hearing that for a man who was incredibly well off financially, when you finally were able to discover where he was, what was going on, just the level of care that he was given was just absolutely horrible.
It was disgusting. It was subpar, and she had paid, this is my opinion, I feel like she had paid this doctor up there to say that he was fine. It's a man that's been ripped from his hospital bed, his feeding tube disconnected, his IVs disconnected, thrown into the back of an SUV from his, we finally found him in a convalescent home, because she did. She moved him from nursing home to hospital. I finally got, when I won conservatorship/guardianship, I got all the medical records. There were times different hospitals around Los Angeles would call Adult Protective Services on her because she would up and just take my dad to the emergency room and leave him at the hospital for weeks, not picking him up, not visiting him, not making a single phone call to see how he was.
That's awful.
Because she had a boyfriend. So that was her way of, like, babysitting.
Wow.
Yeah. So she would drop him off. And this is the whole time we're begging to see him. My sister has a place in her house for him. She's a PA. She's a physician's mm-hmm. assistant in her, you know, she worked in palliative care, end-of-life care. You know, so we would have taken care of him. She didn't want him. It was painfully obvious. She had dropped him off in every local hospital and convalescent center. So the last place we found him, and TMZ actually called us up personally. There was mm-hmm. a guy at TMZ that called us up and said, we found your dad. And they didn't publicize it. They didn't do anything. They just told us, hey, your dad's here. So I got my attorney. In fact, an attorney I interviewed on my radio show here in Los Angeles. She said to me, she said, if your dad is in a convalescent home, you have every right to see him. The ombudsman here passed a law that if somebody that's in a hospital or convalescent home says, I want to see somebody, they have to let that person in. And because my dad publicly stated over and over again through his attorney and doctor, I want to see my children. So we went in there. We got a visit. I visited with my brother was from Singapore. My dad got on Skype and talked to him. My dad never had dementia where he didn't know who we were. He always knew who we were. He was just, he got confused. You couldn't tell him the story past three or four sentences and he would kind of get confused. But he always knew who we were. When we walked in after not seeing him for 4 months, the smile on his face was huge. The staff said they'd never seen him so animated and so happy. And we spent 3 hours with him, and we told him we'd be back the next day.
Carrie, stay with us. We're coming up on a break. More of this incredible story, so stay with us. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Think green. Harris with you. Did you know that Teflon-coated and other non-stick cookware are believed to be toxic to humans? The Environmental Working Group found that in the 2 to 5 minutes that Teflon pans are heated on a stove, the coating breaks apart and releases at least 6 toxic gases, including 2 carcinogens. The lungs of exposed birds have been known to hemorrhage and fill up with fluid, leading to suffocation, according to Natural News. For us, it's called polymer fume fever and is said to be a temporary flu-like symptom. Additionally, when Teflon pans get scratched during cooking, small amounts of Teflon and leached aluminum adhere to food and become ingested. So how serious is this? Well, in a 2006 Johns Hopkins Medical Center test, these chemicals were present in the umbilical cord blood of 99% of the 300 infants tested. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Stated simply, money only comes from 2 sources. First, you can trade time for money.
For many people, this is the only source of money. Unfortunately, they never get ahead.
And they will be destined to scrape by once they are unable to trade time for a paycheck.
Second, you can make money from your money. Instead of working for money, put money to work for you.
It's how most wealthy people got rich. How do you get started?
Understand this idea. What you make matters much less than what you keep. You can't always control your earnings. However, you are in full control of your spending.
The key to getting started on the road to riches is saving money month after month. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
If you're adding precious metals to your portfolio, then call Augusta Precious Metals, a leader in gold and silver sales for over 40 years. Call Augusta now at 855-858-5805. 855-858-5805.